my boots and shoes. You can hang back or fight your best on the front line. Sing a little bit of these working band. Sailing on back, ready for the long haul, tossed by the winds and the seas. I'll drag them all down.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Arun Gupta, who is a founding editor of the New York City-based independent newspaper. He covers the Occupy Wall Street movement for Salon and is writing a book on the decline of the American empire. And also here in Los Angeles, Julie Levine joins us. She's an activist and the leader in the Topanga Peace Alliance and the MLK Coalition for Jobs, Justice, and Peace. She is currently a field instructor at the USC School of Social Work. And I don't know whether I have Arun. Is Arun on? Are you there, Arun? So tell me, Arun, what happened today in New York? I believe there's quite an occupation of Union Square.
Yeah, it was I think conservatively over 10,000 people. It was a great turnout from really a lot of different cross sections of New York. Huge immigrant outpouring, a lot of labor, a lot of people involved in the Occupy movement, all sorts of different community groups from around the city, a lot of students. It had a good militancy to it.
Well, when you speak of militancy, there's been some, I don't imagine you're referring to the kind of militancy that happened today in Seattle and in Oakland and San Francisco.
Well, there hasn't been a lot of police violence here, fortunately. I was at the Wildcat March, which was probably about 500 people. You know, that was the anarchist march, and there was definitely an aggressive police response to that, where they did attack the march, an unpermitted march, when they tried to step off the sidewalk. Though at the same time, I think, you know, it was predictable. The people who organized this march should have had something more creative than putting on masks and trying to do an unpermitted march through the streets of New York City. Because, you know, New York just has an absolutely massive police force, 37,000 cops. And their modus operandi is to squelch any sort of democratic outbreak, any sort of radical street politics. But other than that, I haven't seen, you know, anything over the top in terms of too aggressive policing, though I understand there were some other unpermitted marches where there was some shoving and some other arrests going on. But nothing what we've seen on the scale of the last 6 months in terms of, you know, hundreds of arrests or use of chemical weapons against protesters, or apparently what happened on the West Coast today.
Well, Arun Gupta, you've been writing in Salon about your concerns about the possibility of co-option of the Occupy movement. But it would seem what happened today in Seattle with the anarchists breaking windows, what happened in Oakland, similar activities plus vandalizing a CBS broadcasting van, and then in San Francisco slashing tires on cars and keying cars. Wouldn't there be more of a concern for the Occupy movement could be co-opted by anarchists who discredit it?
Well, I you know, I think in terms of that whole narrative, you know, we have to remember that this movement really began as an anarchist-inspired and created movement. You know, that it was essentially is kind of radical, decentralized decision-making that comes out of anarchist politics. I think, though, you know, what I saw in New York, I think it's really ineffectual. I can't say, you know, what happened in these other cities, but I'll take your word for it. I don't think it's particularly productive. It's for lack of a better term, it's a certain kind of political acting out. I agree with the perspective that the police are agents of repression, and to think that they're part of the 99% is wishful thinking. But at the same time, like, look, if you're going to engage in these type of confrontational street politics, you want thousands and thousands of people on your side.
Sure. And you don't want to, slash the tires and key cards belonging to members of the 99%. I just failed to understand that. Let me introduce Julie Devine here, who's an activist and leader in the Topanga Peace Alliance and the MLK Coalition for Jobs, Justice and Peace. She's currently a field instructor at the USC School of Social Work. Tell me, Julie, what happened here today in Los Angeles in terms of May Day protests?
I really should say, Ian, that these days I'm really active in Occupy Los Angeles and Occupy the Hood. MLK Coalition for Jobs, Justice, and Peace has become part of Occupy Los Angeles. So we're doing our work there in communities of color, low-income communities around L.A., building local occupations. So I'm here today on May 1st participating in a large general strike, which is a coalition between unions like SEIU, the janitors, et cetera. Many of the unions are out here today. There have been two immigrant rights coalitions marches that we participated in. And as well, we are self-organized four caravans from the West Wind, from West L.A. It actually started in Topanga and then officially began on Ocean and Wilshire. Came into downtown L.A. It's a caravan of cars, bicycles, art cars. There were actions along the way calling attention to wealth inequity, another one organized by our queer affinity group. We had one supporting the veterans who for a long time have been protesting the use of the Veterans Administration land for profit as opposed to for homeless housing for veterans that need it, which is what the donation of the land was supposed to be for. So we've been, you know, we were coming from the West, we were coming from the East, and that included groups as diverse as the Brown Berets and, you know, some of the teachers groups, and from the South, which included the Black Writers and all different people from the colleges. Los Angeles Community College joined us. We had another caravan, of course, from the North. We were covered from all directions. We converged in the center, joined up with the first Immigrants' Rights March. Then we had our own convergence on 6th and Main. And then we joined up with the Southern California Immigrants' Rights Coalition, which began marching, is still marching, on Broadway and Olympic, down Broadway at 4 p.m. this afternoon. And it's been huge. I mean, there's helicopters everywhere. I have to say that although there are numbers of police that seem unprecedented and absurd, on bicycles, in riot gear, with canisters of tear gas, the whole thing, so far it's remained relatively peaceful here, so far, knock on wood, that's peaceful on both sides.
So, Julie,
I do agree with the previous speaker. I believe that some of us may, particularly white middle-class people, might have come into this movement thinking that somehow police were part of the 99% and they were going to be won over to our cause. But in fact, they are agents of the state. They function that way. And as we've watched, you know, we've all been traumatized as we've been out there exercising our First Amendment rights, nonviolently protesting against the corporate state and, you know, the cutback of all the services we care about, zeroing out of adult education and everything else. You know, the response that we've seen from the police has been generally fairly brutal.
Well, just to touch on one of the demonstrations that happened in Beverly Hills that caught my attention, the Let Them Eat Cupcakes demonstration on the Tony upscale street for the 1% shoppers in Beverly Hills.
Yes.
How did that go down?
I'm still waiting for my cupcake. Actually, I wasn't able to stop because I was in the car caravan, but my understanding is it was highly, highly successful. And that was, as you, as pretty obvious, to call attention to wealth inequality in this country. Two other things I want to share real quick is, of course, you know that SEIU did close down LAX. They closed the airport down this morning, and that was, I think, fairly significant in terms of, again, showing power of the workers and the power of the 99%. And also, mainstream media is reporting all day that all of today's activities are culminating in a general assembly at 7:30 in Pershing Square. And that's a wonderful thing, because it's the first time that they've acknowledged that the occupation movement is still alive and that, in fact, we are facilitating a general assembly tonight at Pershing Square at 7:30, which will be Spanish first and translated into English, and we will do with full collaboration of the union. So we're very, very excited about what's going to happen tonight, because if we are successful in building this collaboration with the workers that are out here in these protests today, and they join in our struggle at Occupy, and we work together more effectively, I just think the ramifications are huge.
Well, let me go back to New York and speak with Arun Gupta, founding editor of the New York-based independent newspaper. He covers the Occupy Wall Street movement for Salon and is writing a book on the decline of American empire. Do you feel upbeat of in the way that Julie here in Los Angeles feels that that it seems that. That they're forming coalitions, and I read your piece in Salon, which is concerned about factionalism. But I guess the whole point of the Occupy movement is it's a big tent, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there's my partner Michelle Fawson and I have been going across the country for the last month and have visited a lot of Occupies in the southern half. Tucson, Albuquerque, Tulsa, Little Rock, Atlanta. And there's a lot of great activity going on, but, you know, we also need to be honest. There's a lot of fragmentation. There's some infighting going on. There's also movements in some cities are falling apart. We tried to get in contact with some movements that we had been in contact with in the fall, and we can't get in touch with anyone. Their Facebook pages and websites are inactive, so it appears that they've really just kind of disintegrated. But nonetheless, there is a lot of important activity going on, but at the same point, it's like, look, let's be honest, that the Occupy movement is struggling to regain the prominence it had last fall. And, of course, there are many debates over whether occupations are an end in and of themselves, whether, there are new forms of political activity that should be taking place, discussions about an actual organizing going on in communities, trying to build links to existing struggle, to labor unions. But this is also very difficult and hard work. And the reason Occupy had so much leverage last fall, which is why it was actually bringing unions and liberal groups into it, was because of the physical occupation. And that's simply undeniable, that the physical occupations gave the left a power that the kind of the rest of the liberal labor apparatus had to recognize and respond to. So absent the occupations, it then becomes difficult for the left to be able to leverage that power. And what's actually going on then is that the liberal groups and labor unions appear to be using the left's language, the Occupy's language and ideas to support the Democratic Party, which, of course, is an anathema to the Occupy movement because it is a principled movement. It's not a partisan movement, right? It has certain principles that it's fighting for, and that it sees the Democratic Party as part of this problem. But if it gets shunted into the Democratic Party, then it becomes a partisan project, whereas it's supporting one of the two parties that is in the pocket of Wall Street rather than fighting to end the tyranny of Wall Street. So, you know, there are real obstacles, real problems that are confronting the Occupy movement. I don't think we should shy away from that. There has to be a healthy discussion and debate about this if it is going to move forward. You know, there is good work being done in the home foreclosure movement and trying to confront the banks and building links to various labor groups, but it's kind of at an inchoate, it's at the beginning stages right now. It doesn't have the quality of a mass movement, and it doesn't have the prominent stage that it did last fall.
Well, just in the last minute, Julie, can you give me a sense of whether we're talking about factionalism here or solidarity in Los Angeles?
I think we're talking about solidarity. I mean, I think that the biggest issue is that the mainstream community of 99%ers thought that the Occupy movement went away. They thought it stopped. I mean, they bought, basically they were giving the information that the corporate media was giving that, either the occupation was, over and it had gone away, or, that it was all controlled by this black box politic and these kind of super anarchistic left-wing people that were just out and bent on destruction. And in reality, at the same time that they were doing that, we were out carefully building. We were building a mortgage foreclosure movement. We were helping people save their homes. We were out building solidarity with immigrant communities and with the homeless on Skid Row and occupying with them on Main and Fifth. I mean, we've been out here working on building relationships and supporting 99% issues long, long time. But leading up to May 1st, I think the solidarity with the unions and particularly the workers in the unions has grown tremendously.
Well, I thank both of you for joining us here today. Arun Gupta from New York, founding editor of The Independent. He covers the Occupy Wall Street movement for Salon. And in Los Angeles, Julie Levine, who is a leader of the Topanga Peace Alliance, and she's currently a field instructor at the USC School of Social Work. Thank you both very much for joining us. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.